There it is. All right. That coughing you heard was from Mark Cordes. And see that little red button there, Mark?
Yeah,
the
cough one that button.
Says cough.
Well, I was fine until I reached for the button and it made me cough.
Was Tom Zinner like holding anything?
Did you turn your head?
Yes.
Nice.
All right. Hey, here we go. It's the Grant Wood Show. And we welcome you here every week to our weekly podcast. Wow, I got some crazy noise going on here. Do you hear
really
that?
Loud.
Is it like a really hurricane going on?
Yeah, it is. Hurricane season.
Okay, hopefully that's not on the air. There we go. Much better. Here we go. All right, so you can tune in every week here. You'll get a little email if you're signed up saying there's a new podcast available. So the idea is you can listen to it at your computer. Boss comes up, you got to, like, you know, turn it down real fast. But otherwise, you can download it on your iPod or on your phone or whatever and check it out in the gym or in the car or on your own time. And we're going to be talking about whatever's going on in Phoenix, in Arizona, around the country. Certainly politics and government and what's in the news and sports, because we love sports and entertainment. And, man, all of that is going on this week. And every week is we're going to have... Kerry Dozier.
Yeah.
Yes. Superstar. Right. Local superstar.
Something like that.
All right. Are you cold?
No. It's going to get warm in here, so I'm going to take my scarf off.
All right. All right. We got the film going. You can check that out as Kerry starts to take off her clothes.
Every half hour.
something else will come
hits
off.
The floor.
Now, the bad news is Mark Cordes is also with us. That's the good news. The bad news is he starts taking off his clothes, too.
And that's not right.
No, it's not good.
Anyway. So we tighten the shot a little bit.
How about I put on whatever Kerry takes off?
Could you do that?
That'd be
awesome.
We
would appreciate that.
We're handing it over.
All right. And you're going to tell us every week like where we can go see you also. Mark, one of the great comedians from Arizona here. And aren't you like out at Improv doing something?
Or? I was there last night. I did a show last night at the Tempe Improv. I'll be back soon. It was a blast. A lot
was
of people. Well, considering there was some kind of all-star game going on.
Oh, good time. Yes. We're taping this on Monday. It's about noon here on President's Day. So if you're listening later in the week, which obviously you are, so you decided to go... against the All-Star game. Also,
right.
ASU had a little game.
Yeah, Arizona State played there in Tempe, so you bucked the odds.
And we still had 300 people there.
No way.
Yes, way.
Holy
Sweet.
Cow.
I'm a huge draw, Grant. You don't realize who you're sitting
That's here fantastic.
With.
Who'd you open up for?
Oh,
just kidding.
Ouch. That hurts.
If you had a dollar for every time someone asked you that.
Wow. Hey, Grant, you know where else the comedy
Tom Zinner in the house.
Hi, you guys.
Post Magazine.
Hey, Tom Zinner. Hey, Tom looks better than everybody. He's all dressed up.
Just look at him.
Did you guys go by the mall in Scottsdale at all this week? You want to talk about comedy. Did you see the stereotypes
get
from the life?
From the All-Star game.
It was unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah, at the Biltmore, too. I almost hit two Louis Vuittons and like a 24th and Camelback in one day.
That's,
it was funny. I mean, they must have been rolling in from all over.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, but this All-Star game is huge for the economy. At least downtown, it was hopping, and people were spending money. It was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Saturday night. The problem the NBA has is they need to shuffle things around because it was anticlimactic, I thought, after Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
The game needs to be Saturday. The dunk contest needs to be Friday.
You're
Move
right
the rookie
that.
And the celebrity game till Sunday because everybody's ready to go out after the event on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
On Sunday, you're ready for it to be over.
Yeah.
That's right. You're right.
Once the intros are done on Sunday, that's it.
Yeah, that's
start
a to, show. My God. It went on for like an hour.
Shaq made it last
Shaq
night.
Shaq was
That
amazing.
Was the
How about
absolute
the Shaq?
Best. Absolute best.
The big Shaqtus.
Right.
He did it.
The Shaqtus.
He did it, man. He was awesome. Yeah, stole the show, and then, what, did he make 8 shots in a row?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, politics is all about, it plays into the All-Star game. I mean, you have to campaign in the locker room beforehand.
Is that right?
Because they pretty much predetermine who they're going to pass the ball to, who they're going to get the MVP award. I mean, when John Stockton and Karl Malone won it a few years ago, or the first time Kevin Garnett won it. I mean, that stuff is done. It's like a backroom political deal, Grant. It really,
really
is, yeah. I mean, think about it. Anybody can score on any play because there's no defense.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to pretty much decide who they want to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And Shaq was campaigning for it.
Really?
He was talking about it all weekend.
Well, that's perfect.
Yeah.
He deserved it.
Good for him.
He deserved it. It's hard to miss those dunks, though, when you get it laid up there like Kobe was doing for him.
Well, right? The classic was when the punk thought he was trash-talking him. Howard from Orlando, and then he bounces it between his. Well, he should have given Shaq a little more respect on that play.
That's true. That's true.
What
that's
do you funny. Have to say to Shaq, young man?
Although I'll tell you what. Okay, since we're now talking about the All-Star Game, one of our topics here, we just skipped over. You know, we're going to get to the stimulus plan, TARP. How? Sorry, just going
God,
into the
wow.
Great Depression
it's just
here.
The economy.
Yeah, sorry. Let's talk hoop. That may be all we have left. But yeah, we got. Did you? I went to the slam dunk the night before. Actually, I think the mayor of Phoenix, Phil Gordon, is going to call in, and we have to talk to him. He had a little faux pas right off the bat.
What did he do?
Which he and mention
okay.
it. Don't let me forget to mention it when he calls in because it was not. He involved me in the faux pas. Inadvertently, and so it's a little embarrassing,
but,
and in front of my kid.
Dunked with his pants off, or what did he do?
No. It's just a little thing. It's like he thought he had the wrong suite.
Oops.
Let's put it that way. Okay, so we'll have to get into that.
Okay.
I may have committed a faux pas too.
You did?
Going to ask you guys what you think of this.
What'd you do?
So I was down at Copper Square,
yeah,
like Friday, and I see Jerry Colangelo.
Mm-hmm.
So I go up and I say, "Hey, I miss you. I wish you were still around, and I wish you still owned the team."
Yeah.
That's where I think the football. It turns out it wasn't Jerry Colangelo. It was Janet Napolitano.
Stop. That's terrible.
I know. I was embarrassed.
She's much shorter.
Well, that's more of a slam on Jerry.
But they're both Italian. Yeah. That's where I.
No, come on. I don't think so. They'll get over it, both of them. It's not a problem. Okay. I thought, first, the slam dunk thing was very cool. And I love Dwight Howard. I mean, that guy, he's a showman.
Yeah.
Although I don't like him swiping the Superman thing from Shaq.
Well,
that is Shaq's deal.
Yeah.
He did get upstage, though. I think he thought he was going to be able to mail in. And
Nate Robinson did it. It was
Robinson,
cool.
But raising the rim, that was beautiful.
That was
priceless.
Fantastic. That's mm-hmm. sick.
Because what can every
was
year?
Was it at 11
yeah,
or 12?
You got to do something,
it looked
right?
12. That was
I think
more
it was
than
12
one
also. The guy at the at the arena kept saying 11. It looked like 12, and he did it easily.
Well, the other thing that Robinson
by the way,
did,
I can still touch the net. I don't know if you knew that.
On a 12-foot rim?
No, on a 10-foot rim.
Regular old rim.
That's good.
But if the net gets caught, you know, sometimes that happens, at least at our gym, I can actually jump up and undo it. Yeah, that's
they don't
not
have
bad.
To bring the stick or the
no,
out.
No, it's embarrassing when you don't have one guy who can jump up and grab the net.
Yeah, he
down.
Plays with really short guys.
Mm-hmm, no, there are many others who can do it, but
uh-huh.
I can't.
You're
I can
one
still
of them.
I can still do it. Still do it.
You know, the problem is next year they're moving. The All-Star Game's in Dallas next year, and they're going to play it in the football stadium. 100,000 people.
Yeah, no,
I mean, you
that.
Have to be close to really get the
yeah,
true vibe.
That's
on
the
that
problem
thing.
With the Final Four. They've done that. They put it in these gigantic places, and you have crummy seats. Mm-hmm. And someone like Carrie will not sit in a bad seat.
I don't sit in bad seat.
Because she's a prima donna.
She's never had to.
She's never had to. I know.
Yeah. I won't go.
You won't go?
No.
No, you
I'm,
know what? She's
I'm
not joking, and I don't blame her.
No, it's all about
I wouldn't
the
go, actually.
You can watch it on TV.
I agree with that.
Absolutely. If you're not right down there.
You got to have
great
seats.
I mean, when you take the steps down from that upper level to the second one, it's a different
zip code. No, you can't do that.
Code.
No. Yeah. You can't do that. No. What you can't do is have good seats and then eventually move up. If you're always up in the rafters, it's okay. You don't know any better. But once you've been down, you know, once you've been in parade.
You've tasted it.
Oh, you've tasted it. You can't go back
up.
You
can't go back.
No, you're like, I can't see. I can't see anything. But I'm going to say the best dunk. I think they got screwed here. If we do, we may talk to KJ here later. I think they botched it up. And even though Marley's is one of our sponsors, and we love Marley's, of
we
course.
Do.
And we love Dan.
We especially love Dan.
Yes. Okay. Well, you.
Right.
You
one of my first loves.
Dan.
But anyway.
I think they botched that up. What's his name? Fernandez? And I know they tried it like 1,000
yes.
times, okay? But he took the ball off the back of the glass in the air and came around and dunked.
No, that was a phenomenal dunk.
That's sick,
I mean,
and they gave him like an 8.
But you know what? He barely deserved an 8 because that took too long. And that's,
whatever.
That's part of the show.
That's
you
the
have
got
to get your act together a little bit more. And plus, when he took his shirt off and he just had another Portland, there was not enough showmanship for what he did.
Take the ball
I
off the back of the
him.
Glass. The back,
very
angry.
Angry.
He's angry.
I'm very angry
no,
with
I
you.
I was. I
the
I
back
expected
of the
more
glass.
At that
okay,
point.
Took it off the back of the glass in the air, came around, and actually made the dunk.
It was, that, it was a great dunk, but he
best
seemed
dunk
bored
of the night.
Doing it. That was the problem.
Well,
you got to sell those guys.
And he had Gasol helping him, and he seems like an oddball, too.
So, a new book for you. What behind the scenes at the All Star Game? How you
yes.
campaign to get your
I
co-MVP?
I didn't know that. So that was
what you got to do to win the slam dunk?
Yeah.
Who should do the intros?
No, wait a minute. Has Steve Nash ever won MVP of the All-Star Game?
No, I don't think he has.
Because he wouldn't campaign.
Well,
doesn't seem like a campaigner.
No, he won it. No, Steve Nash a few years ago, where the Suns almost did the complete
oh,
sweep
right,
in Denver,
right.
he won the skills. But yeah. That's not the same as
we almost won the deal. Speaking of Marley, I mean, we had him beat. We made five shots in a row, and then couldn't make the.
And that's Marley's specialty.
I know, but you know what? It's all you can do is throw it up there from that distance, and if you're around the rim enough, it'll probably go in. But if it catches anything, it's out. And they just threw up about 6-7 good shots.
You know, the amazing thing is, listen to the Spurs players getting booed at an All-Star game in Phoenix.
Yeah.
I mean, Tony Parker did not get any credit. And then they were all over Duncan as well. And it was beautiful. Yeah. It's not going to change any playoff results from 3 years ago.
Absolutely nothing.
It's funny. At an All-Star game, to hear someone get booed?
Oh, I was booing. No, screw the Spurs.
See, there's your crowd.
Same thing with Stern. He was getting it, too.
I know. He was getting it, too. I'll tell you something that happened to us. We went over to the Mesa Boys and Girls Club and Mesa Arts Academy, which is the same thing. Those of you who don't
Grand
know.
Grand Woods Branch.
Yes, it is. And we started the Boys and Girls Club, and then it was doing very well. And I got this idea, this is quite a while ago now, 14 years ago, that what if we had the kids not just after school, but what if we had them during the day? Because it's a lot of kids drop out. They were getting in trouble in school. And so we thought, let's start a school. Since we have charter schools in Arizona, it was one of the first charter schools in Arizona. Let's have a school at the Boys and Girls Club. And we wanted to do it around music, around the arts, because these kids who are all at-risk kids, they really don't have great exposure to being able to learn to play musical instruments, things like that. So we started it. Now, let me tell you the good news on that. These are all, again, at-risk kids. They're all Boys and Girls Club kids. They're good kids, but they come from, tougher backgrounds. More, it's harder for them than other kids. And last year, at the end of last year, out of a 600-plus charter schools in Arizona, independent group came in, analyzed how all the schools were doing. They picked the top three. Mesa Arts Academy is one of the top three. Which tells you that just what we believed, these kids can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Any kid can do it. If you give them the resources, if you give them a positive environment, let them believe in themselves and all that. So anyway, that's the Mesa Arts Academy. It's very exciting. 50% of the kids that enter the school, it's K-8, don't speak English. Mm-hmm. And yet they are scoring as well or better than anybody in the state on the standardized test. So we go over there Saturday, 300 kids and parents. And who was there?
Who was there?
Well, I will tell you. It was Jay-Z.
Oh, my.
Jay-Z. LeBron James.
Nice.
No.
The two kings.
They roll in, and then Jay-Z motions over, and Beyonce rolls in.
Serious.
They gave 150 musical instruments to the school, including a huge piano, and they autographed it. And then they gave a check to the school for $10,000.
That's huge.
Okay, those kids have to be freaking out.
Did you know that was going to happen?
Yeah. We didn't know Beyonce was going to be there. We knew the other two
were. Did you get to meet her?
I did not. I got to look at her, though.
Is she bootylicious?
Yeah, bootylicious. I thought she had the big booty from just seeing her on TV, and it was fine. It was, I'm not saying big.
It was fine.
It wasn't like, I mean, it was perfect. She was perfect. She was great. But, and Sprite was a big sponsor there. I think they work with Sprite and the folks from Sprite. So, I don't know. Anyway, I thought of that because my oldest son was there, Austin, and he started, we were talking to all these Sprite guys who know Hoop and everything, and the guy, he said, oh, yeah, Robert Horry, that guy killed us, but I'd still like to have him on the team. The Celtics ought to get him. This guy's a big Celtics man. And this other guy goes, oh, you don't think he'd actually go there? And my son says, well, I heard Horry may go to the Celtics. I said, really? Now, I don't know where he heard that. I think he just made it up, frankly.
Yeah. Well, this guy, kid, right?
This guy, yeah, right. This guy takes out his cell phone and got Robert Horry on the line, and Robert Horry said, oh, that's bullshit.
That's funny.
I'm not going there.
Hey, I checked with Robert. He said no.
I know. How about that? That was
pretty wild. A crowd.
Yeah, that was a good crowd there.
So did they perform, or did they just hang out?
They hung out, and the kids performed.
Cool.
From the Arts Academy, and the kids did Jay-Z's version of Hard Knock Life.
Very nice.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, Jay-Z's got a man crush on LeBron. There's no doubt.
Is that right?
What does that really entail? I mean, behind the scenes, Tom, well, what goes on?
Oh, no.
You have to politic for that.
I mean, you cannot seem those. They're joined at the hip the entire All-Star weekend. I don't know if he's just actively campaigning to try to get him to come and play for the Nets in 2 years or what. Huh. But, no, they did their party together at the Phoenician. That was a great party on Saturday night. I mean, as far as All-Star and big event.
Did you go there?
I did. And it was good. And there was a lot. I mean, it was a good...
Bootylicious.
Well, it was a good party.
Did you see her? Uh-huh. Didn't she look great?
And LeBron was there. Shaq rolled in. You know, Mark Cuban. I saw everybody. It was a fun
Leave
event.
Leave him out.
But they did a good job. They did a good job with the party. But Jay-Z, it's funny because at these games, I mean, they don't show up till 2:30 or 3.
That leaves me out.
Yeah,
what I don't understand. I've gone to a few things like that where, tonight, let's go. Yeah, you know, we got to get out there. We got to, you know, we're not that
old.
You're
there at 10. There's three
people
there.
Yeah, get there at 10. No, I like wait till 11. Guys, one there.
They're setting up the tables.
I'm exhausted. I'm like, oh, shit. I made it till 11. Yeah.
And, I set my alarm to go to those kind of parties.
I think, but
go
you
to
know,
bed and get up. That's great.
You have to.
No, you do.
Exactly.
You roll in all
because
rusty.
These kids sleep all day. So, you know, hey, here's a clue. Let's see who gets the most sleep. You know, they're actually getting more sleep than I'm getting because, you know, they don't get up at 6 a.m.
Sure.
You know,
and I guess if you're charging between $20 and $200 at the door, you just work it as long as you possibly can, have people rolling in till 2 or 3 a.m. so you can maximize the because the drinks are free inside and they were flowing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the thing. So that was Saturday night?
Yeah.
Okay, well, those guys were out at the Boys and Girls Club in Mesa at 3.
In the afternoon.
Yeah, so.
Jay-Z wears those glasses. Right. Behind maybe there, he's they, just, like, maybe all they bloodshot.
Were, you think they were asleep until like 1 or something?
Yeah, maybe they nap.
Let's
they
see.
Nap?
So after the, no, because they went to the Dunn, they do their thing.
But what do they do, not sleep?
No, they don't sleep.
Red Bull.
There's no way they're sleeping.
Really?
No, they sleep till 1,
Red
probably
Bull
the
vodka.
Next day.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Well, that'll wire you.
So like 2, 3 a.m., that's when it... That's...
Shaq rolled in at 2:30.
Wow.
God.
LeBron showed up about 1:45 or 2.
Yeah.
And then Jay-Z was after all of them.
Well, he's on Cleveland time, too, so that's extra special.
Is
that's
he
like
from Cleveland?
Or 5.
No, she's
LeBron.
Talking about LeBron.
Oh, LeBron.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's only 1 hour right.
Because no one really hip is from Cleveland, are
No,
they?
Absolutely not. Oh, sorry.
You know who else was at the game? Wolf Blitzer. Did you see him?
No.
Yes, he was.
Oh,
he
I
was
saw John King sitting next to Dana Bash. They showed them. What
yeah,
are
John
they doing?
King was there.
He did a show from Phoenix on Sunday. Well,
that, it was a strange combo.
They weren't together, were
Wolf
they?
Wolf Blitzer was there with Charlie Steiner.
Wow. Who's Charlie Steiner?
The Dodgers guy.
He's play-by-play for the Dodgers? No, you know him if you saw him.
No, he's no Vin Scully.
No.
That was last week.
We talked about him. Yeah.
What Blitzer so in the dunk the contest? Hill. That's hilarious. No. Holding up an 8.
What were those guys all doing here?
So cool.
TNT. They get the tickets from Turner.
Oh, okay.
Because Robin Meade was in town.
Won't that kill a party, though?
Yeah, he's all Wolf Blitzer. Shaq's like, I'm out.
Yeah, exactly.
This party
Wolf
sucks.
In the house.
And party closes.
Now, it would have been funny if Nate Robinson had
John
jumped
King.
Off.
Yeah, see,
John
see my magic wall? Right. Shaq's like, screw this. We're out. Guys doing state by state in the corner.
Right. Right.
Super.
That's no good.
Who's the jackass?
Yeah, who invited him?
Right.
No, that sounds bad. Okay, now when we go ahead, looking to the week ahead, supposedly this, you know, I don't know that it'll come off or not, but supposedly Friday I'm having lunch with Shaq. So I don't really know Shaq.
How do you set this stuff up?
I don't set
Who
it
does
up.
This
they call he called me.
Oh, he called me. People call my people.
No, he called me, and it's very odd, but it's
give me that.
It'll be cool. And he claims he says this is what he said to me. He goes, we got some things to talk about. I said, really? Okay.
Of course we do with that.
I don't know what do we have to talk about, but I'm all for it.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I think you need to run for governor, and I need to run for sheriff.
Oh
I
my
thought,
God,
Sheriff Shaq. Would that be awesome?
See, there's somebody who could beat Joe.
Well, Sheriff Shaq, I'm all for it because he's very pro-law enforcement. I think his family's been involved in law enforcement. He's now working in Tempe with them. He worked in Florida. How about that?
But,
that
well,
would be
A,
outstanding.
He'd have to wait 3.5 years, right?
It's okay.
And I just don't see him wanting to actually do the work, just like Charles.
It's really,
they don't
here's
really
the thing.
Want
there
it.
Is no work.
It's not that big a job. Sheriff's made it real big, but it's like this big.
Joe's made it huge.
Chief
okay. Jailer. You don't have to.
You
have
to live here?
You ever see the movie Lone Star?
Billy Bob Thornton?
No. It's a cast of characters. John Sayles movie. It's got all sorts of people in it. But the guy, Chris Cooper, is the sheriff, and Elizabeth Pena, they went to high school together, and so they're talking, and they reunite. And at the end, she says, well, you know, that's – God, it's really great. You became the sheriff. Wow, that's something. He goes, you know what? It's like – it's not that big a deal. Basically, you're a glorified, you know, babysitter.
True. But what happens if a really
but you
big
know obviously not here in Maricopa County. It's
well,
taken
you can
on,
create your own job description. Yeah,
well, that's right.
Do
and
you
and you
do.
Can do that. Now, remember before Joe, also we had Dick Godbey here, and I can tell you a story about that. John McCain calls me one time and he says, "Hey, we've got to get." This is when I was working for him way back when. He goes, "We got to get behind this guy for sheriff." I said, okay, what's the story? He goes, well, there's two guys running. One of them, the Democrat, is like a career FBI. He's now retired, and he's going to run. And the other guy is, well, he's a retired now lawnmower repairman.
Perfect.
I said, okay, well, that's an easy one. He goes, yeah, we're
for
the lawnmower
repairman.
I said, okay, what's his name? He says, Dick Godbey here. I said, come on, what? Get serious. Godbey here is his name. And that was his name, and he won. And if you recall, a couple of months in, he did his first big act, which was he did a raid into Mexico. And then he was informed you can't do that.
You can't actually
no,
do that.
No, that's not good. He
you
didn't
see
know
where
that.
Maricopa County is? That's where yeah. you need
see,
to stay.
Yeah. Okay, you want to hear? We're straying a little bit. I got to tell you this story. I go in there one time. This is a classic. Oh, my God. This guy drove me insane. I go in there. I was representing a company, and I was representing Unisys, who sold computers. And the county was so this had been in the late 80s, and the county was slowly getting into the computer world. But they had all IBM. So going in with Unisys was like, forget it. What is Unisys? We never right. heard of it. Anyway, so we go see the sheriff. We walk in. Well, he was not a real computer guy. Let's put it that way. He had no idea what we were talking about. But I have these guys out
Godbey here.
Yeah, Godbey
right.
here.
Okay.
So these guys come from Pennsylvania. They fly all the way out here to go to this meeting, you know. And we walk in, and two things happen. First thing, he says, there was actually a red phone there. And he goes, yeah, this is the hotline. This is the hotline. I just got to put in, and
in case a lawnmower breaks down somewhere?
No. Only emergencies.
I'll be right back.
I'm serious. Only emergencies or the wife. That's it, okay? And nobody else, nobody has this thing, you know. I swear to God, on cue, goes, bring, bring. Picks it up, he goes, yeah. How'd you get this number?
No.
This is the sheriff. I don't know. No, I don't want to buy that. I don't know how he got that number. It was so like solicitor or something. Right after he said the secret hotline, okay.
Now, if you hadn't been in the room, it would have been you.
Oh.
Right. Prank calling him, right.
Prank calling him. Okay, now it gets better. So these guys are already from, you know, I bring them out, the clients, you know, trying to impress them. You know, this is my hometown, and, you know, here's our sheriff, and already bad. You know, no one can get through. Who is this? So then we sit down, and he is bored. They're doing their presentation. He has no idea about anything about computers. And there's these little, it's hard to describe, but there's like four little toys, but they're black and they're lead, okay? And like one of them is a dog, and one of them's a horse, and one of them is a car, and one of them is a wagon, okay? And they're like sitting there on the coffee table, and he's like looking at them and kind of screwing around with them while they're talking. I'm like, oh God! And so there was a pause, and I said, well, you know, hey, what are those anyway? He goes, oh. No, this is unbelievable. He goes, I got the greatest deal on these. I know. I paid a lot. And I really can't afford to be paying all that. But I had to buy these because I got a special opportunity. And this is going to be so great. I said, well, what are they? I can't even tell what they are. He goes, well, these were the toys of Todd Lincoln. These were his actual toys. That President Lincoln's son, Todd, had these toys, and I got the opportunity to buy them. They're going to be worth a fortune someday. We're looking at them. One of them is a car.
Stamp 1969 on the bottom.
We got the wagon, the dog, the horse. What about the car? And
did you call him on it?
Yeah, I said, hey, what about that car?
Nostradamus. Dick.
And he was like all flustered, and he goes, well, I'm not sure about that. I don't know all the details.
That kind of ruins the whole thing about these Lincoln.
Okay, so that wraps it up. Good meeting. Good talk.
Exactly.
Good talk.
We walked out of it, and those guys go, holy shit. What is your
problem? This guy's your sheriff. Nice.
Yes.
Really, we're not backwards.
Yeah. Oh, no, no.
No,
I was bragging
not.
About Phoenix. Wow. We're on the way. Yeah. He had Todd Lincoln's
toy car,
which is invented 50 years later. So right. Not so good. Okay, since we talked about basketball, can we do the Woody really fast? Okay, let's do the Woody. And I hate to do this. I don't know if you guys saw this, but this really drove me crazy since we're talking a little bit about basketball before we get to the economy. So this week's Woody goes to former NBA great and Clipper general manager Elgin Baylor. Yes, this past week, LA Clippers and their owner, along with the NBA, were sued by former Clipper general manager Elgin Baylor for racial discrimination. Yeah, he filed the suit. This is a guy who collected paychecks for 13 years as a player, 22 years as a GM, and now it appears they were actually discriminating against him by hiring him and paying him for those 35 years. He also says in the lawsuit that he was unceremoniously released from his GM position because he was black. Or he is black. Now, this is like major league bad joke. The only bigger joke was the crummy job Elgin Baylor did for the Clippers over 2 decades. And they didn't fire him. In 22 years, under his leadership, they made the playoffs 3 times. Oh. Got thumped early every time. And now, if you follow the Clippers, which is... Sports Illustrated picked them as the worst franchise of the 20th century. They'd always get the great draft picks. He'd squander them. And when he finally got somebody decent, they would beat cheeks out of there as fast as they could. Now, the owner, Donald Sterling, lawyer, businessman, says he thinks there must be some mistake because he and the Big E are very, very close. Obviously, another bad evaluation by Sterling. Very, very close friends generally don't sue each other for racism. And I feel sorry for the Clipper fans. What do you think it's like to have a rich owner who is clueless about hoop and a general manager who was a good player but is clueless on how to direct a basketball organization? Oops, I forgot. That's what we have. It stinks. Maybe our owner, Richie Rich, can rescue Elgin from racism and bring him here to screw up the Suns even worse. I don't know if that's possible, but he could try. For stealing a paycheck for 22 years and then claiming racism, Elgin Baylor gets this week's Woody.
That's unbelievable. You know, GMs in the NBA make, I mean, he's made minimum $1 million a year the last.
He claims he was underpaid.
Well, he underperformed.
Right.
He wasn't fired.
He's a punchline. So is the
exactly.
Owner.
Exactly. I mean, can you imagine that guy filing suit?
I mean, after he tricked him for that long? It's bad enough that you were the worst GM ever.
Worst ever.
Worst.
Of all time. Any sport.
Because you may even get lucky.
Any
sport.
Look
at some teams. Like, look at Tampa in baseball. Every once in a while, the stars align.
Yeah,
you know, things happen where it's
lightning
your
in
turn.
A bottle. That's right.
And they never even had that. I mean, and when they did a couple years ago, it was because of Dunleavy, you know, who finally cared back then.
Right.
He's completely mailing it in the last 2.5 years.
Right.
But that's unreal.
They had Elton Brand. They had all that.
But you know what? It's just a perfect example. When an organization is run right, a pro franchise, good things happen all the way down. And they're the opposite. They're the antithesis of that. And
speaking of that, well, I guess we might as well just finish up our hoop talk. What about the Suns? Terry Porter gone today. Speaking of taking a team. Okay, let's say a year ago today, we look at the Suns, and in their previous season, they probably would have won the world championship except for a ridiculous suspension of Amari, so where, you know, when Nash gets checked into the bench. So absent a fluke, we win the championship. And so this year, you know, we're talking a year ago.
Right.
We say, let's see, what place are we in? We're in first place. We're leading the division.
Guys. Hey, guys, sorry, I hate to do this. We got to interrupt because we have a special guest call in. He's only got a couple of minutes.
Oh, let's do it.
We'll get back to this.
Yes.
But David Spade's on the line.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome. Let's do it.
And he's probably got a take on this, too. He's
I know he's a hoop fan.
Yeah.
All right.
Listen, this story is... sounds riveting, even though I'm jumping in the middle of it.
Hey, David Spade, how you doing, man?
Hey, how you doing?
We appreciate you calling in.
Now, who's on? It's Grant. Who else?
Well, we got Tom Zinner here from Post Magazine.
Oh.
Carrie Dozer, super hot chick. Keep your hands off, though. She's married. Right. And Mark Cordes, who said he has lots of stories about you.
I know him briefly. more of an acquaintance.
Right. Yeah, we all say that. Well, we're moaning and groaning about the Suns here because they just lost their coach today, which we don't really care about. But yes.
What happened?
Well, they fired him because...
What happened? We stink.
Yeah, because we stink. That's the main thing. We have like six All-Stars. And we can't beat anybody.
The last coach got fired. Now the new one did?
Yes. Have you seen our owner? Our owner, I don't know if you've ever seen the Richie Rich comics, but...
no. That's what him. About... Let's back it up. So Connie Hawkins is cut. He's gone.
You got to get a little more up to date, David.
No, I saw Dick Van Arsdale at Alpha Beta once. I almost...
Alpha Beta? You did not just say Alpha Beta. My God. Wait, fast forward. It's 2009.
Yeah, I told you it was a Suns fan.
I'm backing it up.
Okay, you're backing it up. Okay, we're going to move it forward a little bit.
Before I moved to Casa Grande, way back.
And we're hurting.
So you've got a... now, I heard... Amare's, you know, is he going? Is he gone? What's that one?
Yeah, supposedly going. We kind of hope not because if he goes,
that's
probably yeah, that's it, and that means it's probably a salary dump. And you know, when you see that as a fan, you're screwed, right?
Well, I don't want to sit there for 6 years of rebuilding.
No, exactly.
That's the thing. That's the bummer when you go. I know it's necessary, but when you got a guy that good.
Yeah.
Get rid of everyone else.
Build around him. Yeah, you would think. No, we're going to try something new, apparently. We're going to build around the 38, 39-year-olds.
Are we
going to
build around Clank Fu?
Yeah, we are.
Clank Fu.
Hey, he's the co-MVP.
Of what?
Of the All-Star game yesterday.
1996?
No, come on.
No, yesterday.
No, I did not see the All-Star game. I was there, and everyone checked into my hotel when I was leaving. Oh. And everyone was too tall. I slipped down.
Spade, I hear you killed it Wednesday and Thursday.
Oh, I did the improv. It was stupid. I should have stayed the weekend and done it because obviously there was stuff going on. But it was just kind of for fun to come in and see everybody in golf and try out my three new jokes since 1987.
Are you still doing the Tom Petty?
No, I finally put that away.
Come on.
Are you doing
classic.
The garage door opener?
No, I sold that to you.
I'm still doing a bunch of my crummy stuff, but there's a couple of little nuggets in there.
All right.
Things are starting to click.
Are they?
Yeah.
You know, could you give Cordes some help? Because he's really got some, I don't know, he came on. We're trying to, you know, we're kicking this thing off. We really appreciate
it. Is today day one?
Today is day one.
Okay.
We're officially, you know, going out there live. We've been practicing. It doesn't show, I know, but.
No, you did go up. I know you do a few dry runs, right?
Yeah, we've done some dry runs. And here's what Cordes has come up with. You know the gal who had the octuplets?
Yeah.
You know her favorite Bond movie?
Octo.
Yeah, I know, that's not good.
That wasn't me.
Not Octopussy, come on. Wasn't that you?
No,
that's
I
not
like
right.
that I didn't say the second word
you
in
can
case
say
it wasn't cool.
You can say it. You can say whatever you want to.
I'm an old pro.
Hey, now, okay, I got some questions for you here.
Yeah, please.
We need the inside scoop, because I'm still a fan of the Oscars, because I'm a big movie fan. And
right.
So what's the real deal there? How crazy is it? What's it like? You're a star. You know these people. I know you hang out with Kate Winslet, Meryl Streep all the time.
I did see Kate Winslet last week.
Did you? She seems super cool.
She was nice, but I can't imagine she would know who I am because she lives over there. But I don't know if Joe Dirt has made it over to London yet. But I know that in different pockets of different countries, people know me. I don't know who, and I've never left and gone anywhere, so I don't know. Never been to Europe, never been, like, anywhere.
How
so,
did Joe Dirt get overlooked, by the way? I know it's a sore subject.
Joe Dirt is actually, shockingly, first of all, we might do a sequel and an animated show like King of the Hill.
Really?
Yeah, don't lowball Joe Dirt. It's actually got some wheels. And
wheels.
Well, because for some reason, by the way, anyone that says they like it always semi-apologize. They're like, you know what I actually like? I'm like, well, that was the idea. You don't have to say you're sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't make movies that people aren't supposed to like.
But the Oscar stuff is fun. I mean, I'm a little on the outskirts. I don't do movies that much. I just signed to do one this summer, which will be super fun. But other than that, I just kind of, when I see those people, it's like another world of people, you know?
So you're not hanging with Meryl Streep this weekend?
No, they're always nice. I did... one time I went to this Vanity Fair Oscar party, and Meryl Streep had kids, so she wanted to say hi, and then we talked, and then she wanted me to introduce to J-Lo. That was like my big night of bringing J-Lo over to see her. And I'm like,
Meryl Streep wanted to meet J-Lo?
Yeah, I go, by the way, Meryl Streep, you can, anyone will meet you.
So yeah, exactly.
You don't really need Dum Dum as the middleman.
Well, why did she want to meet J-Lo?
Because her kids did.
Oh, God, that's gross. Okay, what about
that's
Mickey Rourke?
Gross. J-Lo, that's nice.
J-Lo's revolting. Honestly.
But I get
how about the booty on J-Lo? We were talking about Beyonce. J-Lo, I mean, that thing looks real.
Definitely bigger.
That looks gigantic.
It doesn't look quite real.
It doesn't. What is that?
I think she's so pretty, though, but I that's not my thing. Like, I'm King Lear. But that, too big for me, but she's gorgeous.
Yeah, too big for you. I know.
Well, right.
That's how I am. You know, I used to be, I'll give you an example. This is how it's gone for me. I can remember like 10 years ago, I'd see the Suns dancers out there, and I'd be like, well, you know, that one's pretty good. I'd probably go, yeah, that one's not bad. Now it's like any of them.
Yeah, no, I know how it is. Look, I'm old and gross. It's not cute anymore.
Yeah, I'd take any of them. Are you serious?
I'm just out there. Like, I can't even talk to a girl. I can't. Everyone's like, oh, okay, here we go.
No, you always show up with the beautiful ones.
Yeah,
I mean,
what's
you
that
seriously,
all about?
The pictures, it's like, oh, new week, new beautiful girl.
Yeah.
No, sometimes, well, you don't see the things that aren't working. But but sometimes now and then, yeah, I'll go out with somebody. But I think it's more because I'm single and everyone's married or has a serious, you know, something going on. So it's down to this. That's what Obama mentioned in his speech. He's like, even girls are going out with spades. This is how bad it's getting.
Oh, God.
It's all tied in somehow to the economy.
Yeah, that's how bad things are getting.
It is.
No, I think you're giving the regular guy out there hope, man, because
you do just fine.
Yeah, you're doing.
Yeah.
You're not getting tired of that, hanging out with the super hot chicks, are you?
No, I look like a moron sometimes, but it's sometimes they're just friends, sometimes it's dates, but overall it's no, still always try to find some cool chick that's fun. But girls are like that. Girls will kind of go out because it's fun or it's this or that, and they don't rate you too harshly on the whole thing. And guys always just want pretty girls. That's just, you know.
Yeah, we like funny.
It's been through time that girls are cooler about it. And so now and then, yeah, that's where I'll... But there's definitely girls that are 100% not their type. They couldn't care at all.
Well, plus having shows in syndication. I mean, Just Shoot Me is still my favorite.
Just Shoot Me still does well. Yeah, I see it. I think it's in the daytime now.
Seriously, I love that show.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that's that I hear, you know, from what's out there, I hear probably the most about Tommy Boy, then Joe Dirt, then Just Shoot Me, and the rest of it I don't hear much about. But
well, and then you had
it. Well, I got the new one, Rules of Engagement. Now that starts March 2nd again. That's a good show, but we've been off since May. It's been a bit tricky.
March 2nd. Okay, and people want to tune in.
Yeah, March 2nd on CBS. It's after 2.5 Men.
Oh, great.
That's
Putty.
A sitcom. But actually, just this summer, we're going to do a movie that Cordes will be like. It's a bunch of comedians.
Oh, what is it? Who is it? Who's in it?
It's, you know, Rob Schneider. It's five guys that went to grade school together, and then kind of in a big chill way, they meet up at their coach's funeral 30 years later.
Oh, very, very cool.
But it's funny. It'll be funny, awesome. But it's like we all come back to the small town, and everyone's got a different life. So Schneider's in it. Kevin James is one of the guys.
How about his big hit there?
Yeah.
That's
still mowing
crazy.
Along. It's just another weekend of annihilation.
Is that a surprise? Because it surprised me.
Yeah, that's technically a surprise around here.
Good Lord.
Technically a surprise. That rates as a surprise.
Well, because not that Kevin James isn't funny or it's not good. It's just those movies are on a modest budget. They cross their fingers.
Came out in January. It
came out in a weird time. It just was all lightning strikes. You know, you get the right time. There's not a lot against it. But, you know, nothing against it. It's good. I actually thought it's funny. And
well, it made it, and let's take the
other... It's already hit $100 million, and
that's
still going.
Sick.
Well, the whole concept about it is just hilarious. I mean, even the trailer's good, and the poster's good.
It
doesn't really matter
if
the movie's
funny.
That funny, because he sells it so well. He's everywhere.
He sells it. You got to give him credit.
That was a good part for him, and he did a good job with a good part. And it was kind of well executed, because sometimes those movie ideas, like people tell me, oh, you should be a meter maid that wants to be a... SWAT guy, or, you know, Farley used to get those kind, like a security guard that thinks he's good. And it's all if you do it the right way, and it's hard to do it right.
Exactly. Okay, last question for you.
Okay, wait, so quick, me, him, Chris Rock, Sandler.
Well, you left out a couple there at the end.
Well, you know, I know it'd be awkward to ask me on the air, but when we get off air,
are you available?
Yeah, we'll talk later.
In case Chris Rock drops out.
Yeah.
You could
can't
do it.
Because Mark's one, got even a lot of I know that. You're tan.
See, yeah, if you do a really movie like tan. That, you only have to work once every other year, David. That's that's going to be huge.
No, that's is huge.
That should hopefully be a good one because we're going to do it, I think, in Boston this summer.
How about the summer in Vegas? Is that scheduled too for you?
What's that?
How about Vegas this summer?
I do. I got to do a bunch of. I do the Venetian now to do stand up. So that's. I got 3 weekends in April, two in May, and I think I split for the movie. But I like doing that.
Why do 8 weeks on a movie set when you can go to Vegas for the weekend?
I do Vegas almost too much. I used to do the Planet Hollywood. Now I switched over, but it's all right. That's fun time. You know, it's fun to go out there. But I'm still I can't rage all night. It's you do an hour long set, it'll beat up, and then. But you know, it's fun.
Then you go to bed.
Thing is, when you go out here and there, you get caught. And so if you get a photo out there once a month, you look like. You're out every second.
Yeah, that's right. He's that's always there.
Vegas again.
You're always...
Okay, so they, if you do Joe Dirt 2,
yeah.
Is that a natural mullet?
Electric Dirtaloo? That might be coming out. That mullet is... no, I wish. I swear to God, if my hair was that thick and juicy, I would grow it like that.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, it looks so cool. I look like a prisoner.
I'd wear dreads. I guarantee I'd have dreadlocks, but I can't.
Do you not have cool hair?
He's got great hair. It's pretty much over.
Oh.
I'm pretty much
Cord,
done.
Cord, are you hanging in there with that?
Oh, God.
I checked in a long time ago.
He's way done.
So
Cord,
much
Cord, you tapped out?
I'm done.
It's all right.
Okay,
all right, guys, I want to say good luck with your show. I appreciate you
We appreciate you calling in, man, and we hope we'll see you when you're back in Phoenix. We love having you in your hometown.
Yeah, I'll run back. I'll probably do the improv again just because it was a fun time, and we had a bunch of friends come in.
I see your mom at Costco all the time. She's the best.
Hey, your mom. Hey, David, your mom came up to me in... Pine Top,
really?
A summer ago, and she walks up to me. We're in an antique shop, and she comes up and she goes, "Hey, I know who you are." That's what she said. I go, "Oh, well, okay," and she goes, "Yeah, I always liked you," and I said, "Okay, thanks." And then she kind of milled around the store, and about 5 minutes later, she comes up and goes, "You know,
she didn't."
She said, "My son always tells me I shouldn't have done what I just did. I shouldn't have come up to you." I said, "Really? Who's your son?" She goes, "Oh, David Spade." I said, "Well, you know, okay."
Yeah, no, I tell her she can't. I said, "People never get old if you just are nice and you say nice things and you move it along. That's fine."
Move it along.
She was great. I thought, well,
hey, Spade,
I'm not quite in the same category.
Not to embarrass you about Pine Top, but I'm a part-time resident up there too, and I saw what you did for the Humane Society up there.
All right,
very cool,
yeah.
Man. He donated, what, 25
grand? No,
that was
up in Sholo, but my mom lives in Sholo, that's why.
Yeah, but it was for the White Mountain Humane Society.
Yeah.
That's cool. Good job.
No, I'm trying to
residual checks kicking in. You throw them to the animals.
I'm trying to keep that and get the guns to the cops.
Yeah, you are. You're doing great. No, that's right. That was another great donation.
Some people gave me trouble about that.
Well, not us.
No.
We're very pro-law enforcement here.
Well, they said it was Republican. It wasn't really Republican. It was just kind of like helping the cops. So
yeah, exactly.
Not really Republican or Democrat.
All right, man.
All right, guys.
We're
going to
talk to
you again
soon.
Things going. I got to run.
Okay.
Hey, Spade. Good seeing you.
Appreciate it.
Bye, you guys.
All right, David Spade.
Okay.
Great Valley guy.
He's the best there is when it comes to being a guest on a talk show at night. Have you seen him on Leno? I mean, he's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Is he never not hilarious?
Well, let's just see how good he is.
He's better than Joaquin Phoenix.
Here's the deal.
Oh, my God.
I saw that live. Wow, I couldn't believe it.
We got to get that up on the website.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Seth,
the best
we gotta get
bit of video ever.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Now,
if you guys didn't
see it. Was that
real?
What do you think?
Oh, yeah, it was real. Yeah. The guy's nuts.
Did you see him try to put the gum on on the,
Joaquin Phoenix, if you know, now he's going to go into hip-hop. He's not going to act anymore.
Oh,
which, by the way, how'd you like to have some money into that movie of his that's coming out? And he goes on and does that appearance.
Two Lovers is the movie. Looks good.
Is that the name of it?
Yeah. Gwyneth Paltrow's in it.
Yeah, and
I think
and
David was sincere when he said he liked the movie.
He does one-word answers. Yes, no.
David was as good as David has ever been. Well, Joaquin, sorry you couldn't show up tonight.
I'm going to take some time off.
I think you did.
Yeah.
I'll come to your house and chew gum.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry we owe an apology to Farrah Fawcett.
That's
right. Classic.
That was great.
God, that was the best.
Okay, we got to put that up. And he looks like, a freak Unabomber.
Tell me about your time with your Unabomber.
He really does. I mean, he's nuts.
Well, it's tragic about his brother and everything, I guess, but, you know, he obviously had some issues, and so these guys, I don't know what
did you hear what the director said of the movie when he saw the...
No.
Well, I guess he saw Joaquin the next night, and he said, "Hey, how the or later that night?" And he said, "How'd the interview go?" And he said, "Oh, it went great."
Oh no!
So then that guy sees it on Letterman, and they interviewed him, and he said, "I'm really worried about the guy." He goes, "This guy, you know." So it's for sure. It's for real.
Him,
there's
yeah.
no there's no means to an end of going on there. And
thank
gooning
you. Yeah,
right.
What would be the point of faking that?
Well, and he doesn't seem like the type of personality that would try to do that.
Yeah. But why
I mean,
would
that,
you?
That's real drugs, I think.
Yeah. It's real stuff.
You know, those are not synthetic. That is real.
That's
said.
Good stuff. Yeah.
I didn't know what it was. I stumbled on it. I had no idea it was Joaquin Phoenix for a while. Did you know right away?
No. If I would have just seen him there, I didn't look like him. He. I mean, it was a joke. It was absolutely pathetic. Okay. Now, since can we finish our entertainment theme? Because when we talk to the mayor, we got to be. You know, we got to talk a little bit about government and politics.
Let's get
serious. So, as long as we're doing that, I want to get on record with our Oscar predictions. Okay. And Tommy Z, you should be the man here, but I want you to know that I'm just over the years I've got like a 950 percentage on Oscar predictions.
Fantastic.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, rarely wrong here. So stick
with
me.
Because we know they always get it right.
Stick with me here. Okay. Right. Actor. The nominees are. Mm-hmm. Richard Jenkins, The Visitor. Now, if you saw that, he's fantastic in it. He's got no chance.
Right.
Frank Langella, Frost Nixon. Fantastic. Doubtful. Brad Pitt, Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Yeah. Not going to happen. It's a two-horse race here between Sean Penn for Milk, which Tom saw like six times. Yeah. A little scary.
Opening night.
And Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler.
Yeah, oh, it's going to be Mickey Rourke.
I don't know. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of Mickey's story already.
Okay, whatever. We're just about the performance.
Oh, right. Good thing I'm not on the panel.
Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler, that is one of the great performances of the last 10 years, in my opinion. And it's like Daniel Day-Lewis, There Will Be Blood, was like just one for the ages. I put it in my top 20 performances. I put Mickey Rourke's performance in there. Sean Penn as Harvey Milk. He was fine, but it was a strong, good performance. I don't think it's even in the same league as Mickey Rourke's. So I say the person who should win is Mickey Rourke, but I'm really worried about this that they're going to give it to Sean Penn.
Well,
it's
what
really
about
looking like?
What
Sean
about
Penn.
Doesn't Brad have to have one eventually?
No, not for this. No way.
What a lightweight.
Well, it's possible.
Sean Penn was great. I thought.
Yeah, he was fine. Did you see The Wrestler?
I didn't.
Okay, you got to see that.
Okay, I'll go see The Wrestler, and then I'll let you know.
It's
but
insane.
Honest to God, it's hard to believe that Sean Penn is the same guy who's in Mystic River. I look at those two, and I go, no way.
You know,
the
thing about Mickey, he wants it. I mean, he's openly campaigning for it, and that's refreshing from an actor. But I loved him back in the early 90s. Pope of Greenwich Village. I mean,
he's a hell of an actor. No, well, let me tell you, when you see this, I'm telling you, this is a top 20 male performances of all time.
Is he going to show up with a little chihuahua?
He's
very fond of those dogs.
Well, that's all he had.
He'd like to thank my
they
dogs.
Stuck with him, you know. I understand what he's saying, you know. Okay, this is the toughest pick, I think, in the whole group. I'm gonna say that they're probably gonna go with I'm gonna go with my heart here. I think my head says they're gonna go with Sean Penn. They don't really like Mickey Rourke that much. I'm gonna pick Mickey Rourke though, because he's just too good.
No, go with Mickey.
Mickey?
He's hot right
what
now.
Do you think?
Got the Golden Globe. He's on a roll.
Mark?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mickey. He needs the gig, too.
Yeah, well, he does. Okay, supporting actor. Josh Brolin for Milk. I thought he was fantastic in that. Robert Downey Jr. for Tropic Thunder. Forget that. That's
what?
A joke nomination. Philip Seymour Hoffman for Doubt.
Oh,
he was great.
He got his.
He was great. Michael Schumann for Revolutionary Road. Nah, he was good. Not going to get it. And then Heath Ledger.
Oh,
The Dark Knight.
Never mind. Heath Ledger.
It's over. Yeah.
Done.
Ledger. I know. Philip Seymour Hoffman was great.
God,
Josh Brolin was really great.
I mean, Brolin's turned into a very, very good actor.
He's fantastic. He believe me, being around right-wing Republican nuts for most of my life, Josh Brolin nailed it. Yeah.
A.W.?
Hmm?
No,
in this.
Oh.
He played.
Yeah, this closeted, angst-ridden.
Yeah.
God, I want to go out and get drunk with Sean Penn.
Are you saying W is the
wrong movie?
Right-wing nut? Come on now. Okay, Heath Ledger. That's the easiest pick. Okay, best actress. This is not that. This is a hard one, too. Anne Hathaway for Rachel Getting Married. Absolutely fantastic performance. In that.
It's hard to separate the annoying personality from the performance.
Right.
And I am incapable of doing it.
Did anyone
and
here
all
see
bug
Rachel
the crap
Getting
out
Married?
Of me, to be honest with you.
Did anyone see Rachel
No, but
getting
did you
married?
See her on the Tonight Show?
I
She's
care.
The nuts.
Have you ever seen her?
I mean, just
End
try to be real for 15 seconds, Anne.
Rachel Getting Married, I did see, and Anne Hathaway State was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And she could win in another year, but not this
Although
year.
Although I did like her in The Devil Wears Prada. Yeah. She was good in that.
She was fine. That was a light role. This is a heavy role. This is real
Such
acting.
Such a serious guy. I'm Tom a 14-year-old girl. Doesn't okay? he? Love The Devil acting. Wears Prada. Worry a little bit.
Angelina Jolie for Changeling. No. Melissa Leo for Frozen River. Great. No one saw it. And then the race is between Meryl Streep for Doubt.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Kate Winslet for The Reader.
Well, Winslet's going to get it.
Yeah, I think so.
Without
Dang.
A doubt.
I loved Meryl Streep.
She yeah, Meryl made, Streep she was made fantastic
me,
in Doubt.
I wake up thinking about that woman in that movie. She scared mm-hmm. the
it's
hell
Kate's
out of me.
It's Kate's year.
Yeah.
Well, it is her year because she had a star turn in Revolutionary Road. She was great in that. She won the Golden Globe. It was really a surprise here because she won Best Supporting Actress for The Reader, which is not... wasn't right in Golden Globes. It's a leading role.
Have you seen her lately on TMZ?
I've seen her a bunch. She's fantastic.
She is fantastic, but she really surrounds herself with some goons.
I mean, have you
anybody that's in front of her trying to clear the path, getting her into a club, getting her out of the car? Come on, have you not
I
seen
I love
this?
Kate
no.
Winslet.
No, I like her too, but she's got
she
some
seems
morons
very real.
Around her.
No, I
she
think
goes
she's
into
great.
Clubs?
Does that
she
enter
went
into the...
I saw it on TMZ 2 weeks ago. It was unbelievable. I mean, this guy was just clearing a path
no,
for her.
No. She's great.
I think
and
it
Meryl
should affect
Streep
the Oscar
great.
Voting. I think that should play a role in it.
Dear Academy. But
it will not play a role. Kate Winslet's going to win. Meryl Streep was great. If you, after I saw the movie, I read the play, and just the last scene in Doubt, for example, on the printed page... It was not much, I didn't think. But on the screen, she
well,
made
she
it.
She just collapsed.
She made it,
lap.
I'm telling
I
you.
Have doubt.
It was yeah, it was very interesting to read it and then to see her because that was what she saw. It was word for word from
she
the
She was great the whole
the
time.
Play. She was great.
Oh, you blew up my light. That's
if,
my favorite line.
If,
you
if,
blew up my light.
If Meryl Streep wins, I will be thrilled because she's my I think she's awesome. The greatest actress ever, but I'm going to say Kate Winslet. Okay, supporting actress Amy Adams in Doubt. Viola Davis in Doubt. Penelope and they were both great. Penelope Cruz, Vicky Cristina Barcelona, and I say no because how hard is it to make out with Scarlett Johansson? I mean, that's not acting.
For you or for me? That's not
anyone.
Acting.
Someone with a weird name in Curious Case of Benjamin Button. She can't win. No one knows who she is. Marissa Tomei for The Wrestler.
Mm.
She was good. She was good.
You know, this
and
is
she's
a good
still
year
hot
in every category. Last year was really a dog year. I mean, wouldn't you say in every category
no.
it's better this year?
Not actor, because Daniel Day-Lewis.
Well, picture for sure.
Knocked it off. Oh, yeah, definitely best picture here.
Yeah, everybody's a legitimate contender.
I'm going to say Viola Davis for Doubt. She had a very small role in that. She played the mother
She's
of the son.
She's the mom, right?
Yeah, who was allegedly molested.
Yeah, but Amy Adams did a great job, don't
she
you
was
think?
Great.
And she had such a bigger part. I mean, don't you have to reward the bigger part?
No,
they don't.
You definitely don't have to
There's
do that.
There's no logic really? Behind this carry at all.
No.
Okay.
I don't know. This is a tough call. I'll go with Viola Davis. Best picture, and best picture, best director probably be the same this year, I would think. And they're all they're the same nominations. Curious Case of Benjamin Button. I haven't talked to anyone who liked that movie.
Nope, me neither.
I mean, that's very odd to me. And the people who do, it's kind of like, what's the movie that they made fun of on Seinfeld? Oh, English Patient.
Oh, yeah, how boring and long it was.
Well, people either loved English Patient, greatest movie I've ever seen, I'm weeping, or they thought it was horrible.
Well, here's the other thing,
I thought it was
there
horrible.
Was a great story in USA Today. This was probably a month ago. Same writer for Forrest Gump.
Thank you.
Same writer,
I know.
Same
you can
plot
tell.
Lines.
You
almost
can tell.
The exact same story
It's the same
lines.
Dorky lines.
Right.
Yeah. Curious Case of Benjamin Button cannot win. Milk, Milk's nominated. Frost Nixon, there's a possibility there of Frost Nixon, just because that was a heck of a direction job. I mean, that could have really been super boring, and Ron Howard did a great job in that. The Reader, I really love The Reader. I thought it was great. I love the book of The Reader, so I mean, that's just it's a great story. Slumdog Millionaire is going to win it all.
Clearly.
I think that's an easy
yep,
call, don't you?
Fantastic.
Danny Boyle, best director.
Yep.
Everyone in on
and
Slumdog.
It better win.
No one really loves the other movies, and they love Slumdog. You can't go,
God, I loved Milk.
I would have write it for Blart.
Well, Tom.
Yeah.
Right.
And the only problem I have with The Reader is there's just not enough Holocaust movies. We need a few more next year. I mean,
it
there
was
were,
a better book.
There were only nine. It's a better book. I love the book, but that is a really hard book to put on the screen. I mean, when I heard they made a movie out of The Reader, I thought, that's tough because, you just think about it, what it's about and
right.
everything. It doesn't quite translate on the screen. I thought they did a heck of a job on it.
I'd love to see a category for least annoying acceptance speech. And then they do it retroactively.
There's a lot of annoying ones, that's for sure. Well, okay, we got to take a break now. Okay. And when we come back, we're going to the mayor of Phoenix, and we're going to ask him what he thinks about, I was in Los Angeles last week. I pick up the LA Times front page. Phoenix, Arizona, kidnapped for ransom, capital of the United States.
That was an unbelievable story, too.
That's not good. Okay, we'll come right back with the mayor of Phoenix.
A felon story that was...
Okay, let's go, Ron.
Okay, you ready? All right, we got to talk a little bit about what's going on out there, because it's not... We've been avoiding the subjects here, but the national scene and the local scene are fairly similar. We had I'll just give you a few thoughts on nationally and locally here. Nationally, first, last week we saw Barack Obama with his first primetime press conference, and we saw him going all around the country. And I thought he was unbelievably impressive. It's nice to have the president be the smartest guy in the room. And I really haven't seen a guy that good ever.
Is that because he went to the same college as you? Is that why we're hearing this?
Yes, he did go to Occidental College and couldn't quite hack it. He had to, his grades weren't so good, so he had to go to Columbia. But yeah, he does. He obviously is well educated, like most Oxy grads. Now, he was just a he performed, I think, really well. And more importantly than the show is that the guy knows his stuff. He's not, I mean, the problem I always had with George W. Bush is he was a guy who, it appeared, had just been briefed 5 minutes before he was briefing us.
And didn't want to be briefed.
Yeah.
And well, was slightly defensive.
Could care less about the facts anyway.
He didn't really get it, you know, and the analogy I use is, you know, if you said, if we had a doctor come in and brief us right now on gallbladder surgery, we could go out and then we would tell the crowd, the press there, about gallbladder surgery. And then they ask a question that's slightly in depth, and we would have no idea what to say, because all we know is what we were just told. And so what would you do? You just repeat yourself and keep saying the same thing over and over, and that's what Bush did for 8 years. And I thought Obama was great on that. Now, he hyped the Tim Geithner press conference. I don't want to steal his thunder, and we're going to have this in-depth TARP proposal that we're going to hear about. And the problem with that is that he didn't really have any details. And that's a big problem because what people need to realize is this stimulus package that we've been hearing so much about, and that's all we've been hearing about, is, in my view anyway, not near as important as what we do with TARP, what we do with the banks and freeing up the credit. That ultimately is going to be the answer to us getting out of this bordering on a recession, not the stimulus program. I don't think the stimulus program is I was disappointed with it. I would have voted no on it. I think it's disappointing that they couldn't come up with a real stimulus package that was free of pork, was free of the things that they their pet programs.
They're politicians. Can't they hide it better?
Well, I had hoped that at this point in time here, first, I don't think the administration should have handed it over to Nancy Pelosi and the House members to write, and then that was the basis of it, I think, and that the hacks got hold of it, and so probably about half of it is good and about half of it is a bunch of junk, and I don't like that. So
hey, part of the problem with Barack, though, throughout the – and I agree with what you said, that's how thoughtful he is and how he definitely – has looked and examined, but the whole sell job on this thing was so desperate. Well, I think that's part of the problem when you look at it and how fast it had to happen.
And I don't like how fast, but the problem is we've got huge problems. And I think the reason that, just to finish with Geithner, the reason he didn't have a lot of details is because I don't think they've figured it out yet. And that's very disconcerting because this is the most important thing going right now, and I don't think they really know what to do. So I would just say to the people out there, when we're looking at it nationally, I would save your money. I would not spend it. I think this problem is absolutely huge with the big banks. I think the big banks are probably mostly insolvent, and everything's going to have to be on the table here. And they don't want to talk about nationalizing. They just went totally out of control and bet the farm on ridiculous speculation and things that weren't based in reality, securities that weren't based in reality. And So I think, obviously, if there was a magic wand, they would have waved it already. And they certainly wouldn't have a press conference where they stand up and just do things in general. But they did, and I think they did because the problem is huge, and they don't really have an answer yet. But let's get back to that, because I think the mayor's calling in.
Or not yet.
Or something happened there.
Oh, we'll get him in a minute.
Okay. Well, we'll
he
get
got
him,
some good
let's get him back
night.
On there.
TNT?
We'll get him back on there. I didn't see him on there. Yeah. So that's the problem on the... on the federal level is, I hope people will keep their eye on the ball here. Obviously, the stimulus package is important. It's one of the biggest things we've ever seen as far as federal spending. I'm disappointed in it. Let's see what happens, you know, and we'll hope for the best here. But we got to look at the other side of this equation.
Well, you know, Tom said something about the speed of it. He was disappointed in the speed of it. But you know where we are right now as a nation? You know, presidents used to have 100 days. Mm-hmm. Now presidents have like 100 minutes, and then right. It's like do something. Because we just expect that. We're in a 24-hour news cycle. And you see something the night before,
right.
And you wake up the next morning, and you expect progress right. To be made. Well, shoot, everybody went home, went to bed. You know, so cut the guy some slack. I mean, he's just trying to come up with an answer because his expectations are out of this world. I mean, has there ever been a president who's come in that people have expected more of?
Nope.
I don't think
so. But where
so.
Did those come from, though? I mean, not to play devil's advocate, but I think they were all...
it's a combination of a lot of factors.
Well, but you're right, Mark. Part of it was him. But I think the big problem is, yeah, he raised expectations super high, and I don't think he or any of his crowd or any of us had any idea of the depth of the problems he was going to face.
Yeah, I'm not blaming that on him, but I mean the people pushing him. I think, oh man, all you got to do, you know, just vote for this guy, and a week later,
right.
Everything's going to be
right.
solved.
They thought that. Well, I mean, normally that would be true. I mean, if you look back in our lifetime. When a president comes into office, he has his agenda, and you know you're monkeying around with things. It may be we're going to reduce the size of government some with Reagan. We're going to reform welfare. We're going to balance the budget with Clinton. We're going to everybody has their thing they're going to do, but they're all basically it's a lot of politics. It's not make or break the country. It's not dire straits, and when we're talking about domestic policy. And this is what they've come front and center against is the very real possibility, I think, that this country could go into a depression for the next 4 or 5 years, if not longer.
Do you think he believes in his heart that this stimulus bill is going to work? Do you think he really believes it?
I think he believes – well, I think he believes that it will help. It will not work as far as – this is not going to turn things around.
But that's why him being so adamant about selling it and
yeah.
making it – because that's what people buy into, the belief.
Right.
When he talks,
right.
you cannot help but get sucked in.
That's right.
So when he's talking this emphatically about something this important, you expect, at least early on, because he hasn't proven to us that it can't do something yet.
Mm-hmm.
So you buy into it automatically, and when everybody else is railing on it, which
yeah.
that's where it leaves a little question.
Well, here's the problem with the bank situation, with our financial system the way it is right now, and with no easy answer there. They're working through it. They're stress test the banks, nationalize the banks, recapture the toxic assets. I mean, however we end up dealing with this, there's no easy answer there, and it's going to take a while here. In the meantime, there's going to be no private investment.
Mm-hmm.
Their credit is not out there. People are going to continue to cut back. They're not going to hire people when they can't get credit. They're going to get rid of people. They're going to retract rather than add. And so the president's point of view is, in the meantime, there's only one way to get from here to there, and that is the government has to be the one hiring. The government has to be the one spending, because if the government doesn't do it, there will be none. Now, I think that makes a lot of sense. The problem with the stimulus bill is about half of it has nothing to do with that. It's these guys, oh, we're in power now, same old crap.
Right, and that's the only thing
got
people
to throw
latch
our
on
stuff
to talk
there.
About on the cable
well,
shows.
Yeah, and then everybody talks about it, and that hurts confidence in the president, hurts confidence in government, and that's too bad also, because I think the babblers out there, mainly on the Republican side, have to walk a fine line here and understand that when you're talking about the economy, half of it is reality, half of it is psychology. And they've done a very good job. The Bush administration did a great job at the end of last year in killing everybody's confidence in the economy. So that's once you lose people lose confidence in the economics of this country, and God forbid they lose confidence in the financial system, then that's like turning a ship around before you get them so that they now have confidence. They'll start to spend, they'll invest, they'll do things. They just will not do it. So, again, for example, our two senators, McCain and Kyle, they've been out there pounding that this is a bad deal. That's fine. You have a legitimate, as do I, philosophical difference with a lot of what's in that bill. But you've got to also remember that if you, through constant carping at the president and constant criticism, you've got to remember the psychology of this. And you can make the matter worse. Because the reality now is it's passed. The president's signing it, and now we need to move on.
Don't you think, though, not to lay all this at Geithner's feet, but his performance that day, then what, the market dropped 400 points.
Yeah.
And it's dropped 2,000 points, I think, since the election. And it's
2,000 points since Obama was elected.
And
that's amazing.
And it's just because people are reading in between the lines what's in this bill, and
yes.
No matter how you try and sell it, there's a ton of pork in there. After
yeah.
we were told there would be no more earmarks, no
I
more
think
pork.
That, but this is the problem of politics, and it's not just the Democrats. The Republicans do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It's the Democrats now, okay, it's our turn, we're there, so hey, by God, I want this for education. I want this for name the interests that they have. And so they had to put it in there, and they can't resist. And it's, now, look, if this is all about infrastructure and let's get out there and let's get it built now, not 3 or 4 years from now, bridges, roads, and all that, that would do the trick. That's good stuff. I think that's great. We've got an energy grid in this country that is so far behind the times that we could spend all of the money in that bill and not fix that thing yet. So, that needs to be done. The president's talking about, turning the corner here really and being more green and energy efficient buildings, and now's the time to do all of that. That's fantastic. I agree with all that. If you could have just gotten rid of the other stuff. My point is that's over now, okay? So what we're going to get is we're going to get some things that will work. They will stimulate the economy at some point in time, but not immediately, and not really in the near future, I don't think. And you're going to have a bunch of crap in there. Well, welcome to politics. That's nothing new. Keep your eye on the ball, and you've got to unleash the private sector here. And back to Geithner. I know everybody dumped on him. I watched his testimony in front of Congress. I thought he was pretty good for a guy who really doesn't quite know what to do. And so I guess on the one hand, you would have wished that they would have waited until they knew what their solution was. But I think the reason they didn't wait is because they can't wait. Because this thing is too screwed up.
Well, we need something. We need one thing to get excited about. And every day, it gets worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, it does.
Don't read the Wall Street Journal. If you want to be depressed,
you're right.
Read that one day. You literally want to jump out of the airplane if you're reading it in there.
You're exactly
there
right.
There isn't one bit of good news when you read the Wall Street Journal.
You're right. Article after article is
layoffs.
Layoffs.
Forecasts horrible. Yeah. Fraud. Madoff.
68% down.
Yeah.
Closing.
We've already come up with a new term, though, that I am already sick of. Shovel ready.
Yeah, shovel ready. Well, yeah, nothing is shovel ready.
But we've got all these projects that are shovel ready. I've never heard this up until 2 weeks ago. I'm already done with it.
I'm done with that, too. And I don't think there is anything shovel ready. I mean,
that's
the problem. But, if you, I don't know if you guys have had the change. I see the change. I pass now a construction site where they're actually working.
And
that's great.
Great.
Before I was like, oh, God, and here we go, and you add another one, It
was
nothing in Phoenix.
Construction site.
Now I'm like, wow, that's great. Someone's actually building. Someone's actually going forward. Now let's go to Arizona, because we had big news out of Arizona here in the past several days as well. And this is pretty stunning that the Brewer administration sent out the trial balloon, and they did it on Friday. And the way you do these things is they got a reporter that they gave everything to. Carrie knows this. She
no, you don't do that. That's
press secretary, former press secretary. the Attorney General's office. So what they did, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm assuming this. They got the reporter from the Republic, and they told him this plan that they were considering. And then, of course, that's out there now. And you see whether it has any legs whatsoever. And then you go from there. And the plan is that our budget in Arizona is so screwed up and so bad and so dire that we need to go to a special election this spring to do two things. One, to raise taxes for the next couple of years. What taxes? Who knows? Sales tax, income tax, something. That's number one. And number two, just as controversial, to free up the restrictions on spending that are contained in a variety of initiatives that have been passed by the voters over the years. For example, tobacco tax, things like that. We won't spend it for health care for the next few years. We'll spend it for, you know, general fund or
cover
whatever.
Cover behind.
Yes. Right. Now, what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with, apparently, a $9 billion budget. So if we do nothing new, just do the basics here, you've got $9 billion you got to cover, and we are looking at $6 billion in revenue.
Can we borrow from California?
Yeah, right.
And next year gets twice as worse.
And then the year after that, worse. The year after that, worse, depending on what happens again with the economy. Because we base this whole economy, our whole funding for the state of Arizona on things that are very sensitive to economic conditions here. And so, man, do you think that you would have a conservative governor come into office and within her first 30 days
float the 1% sales tax increase?
Float a tax increase. That's pretty amazing. And what does that tell you? That tells you
desperate times.
Just exactly what I said on the national level is going on here in Arizona just as badly. I think people have got to, and this is the opposite of what they want. You know, our leaders want people like me to say, but you better take care of yourself here. You better watch your own income, your own spending. You better have some contingency plans here because this is bad, getting worse, and our leaders are struggling to come up with answers here. It's a pretty amazing situation that we've got, and scary. Again, if you think of a conservative governor proposing a tax increase and a special election, how about that?
So
how's that going to go?
How was the buzz? I mean, if they release that on Friday, you got the All-Star game going on this weekend. Mm-hmm. You have everything else. I mean,
yeah, it probably will just start getting a life this week.
Yeah, it will.
I heard it this morning.
What they're basically saying is, do
we have
believe
no choice.
Them?
Yes.
So the problem is that bad?
I think the problem is that bad. I don't think there's any question that's that bad. Now, you had one of the legislative leaders immediately try to throw cold water on it. You've got a very conservative legislature, and yet, what are they going to do?
Well,
they're going to have to come up with some solutions of their own. No one wants to raise taxes, but they're going to have to come up with some ideas of their own. How are you going to cover this? Now, if they say we're just going to do it all by slashing budgets, well, we can't sacrifice our schools, our universities. We've got very little room in here. So it's a huge mess. Let me just go forward to this special election, though. Okay, I hate to be Mr. Doomsday here today, but if we have an election, let's say in April or May on this, you're going to have first a very low turnout because
nobody's going to show up.
No one shows up in these special elections. The people who do show up are usually very, very conservative. They're going to be and old people, and those are people who generally don't vote for a tax increase. Right. So you're going to have all the naysayers are going to show up. Then you're going to have people from the left show up who pass some of these initiatives, who led the fight on these initiatives for health care, for other things, and they're going to be voting no because they're going to say, hey, this is my baby, and it's going to be gone. If we give it to you, if we give you a temporary fix here, we'll never see our money again, which there's some degree of truth in that. So you have all the people who are naturally against anything like this showing up to vote no. You have people on the left showing up to vote no. It fails. Then what?
Well, I'm sure it's not the only state, too. I mean, you look at California right now. I mean, when you start seeing, if one state does go, what Arnie and he's having his little battle with the treasurer there in California, I think people just want some straight talk. And when we find out realistically how this is going, no politician has really come out and said, it is that bad.
Yeah, that's a problem. They need to come out and say it's that bad.
and how it'll affect individual people.
Right.
And I think once people can put that into their own context and truly understand it, because people don't want to believe it's as bad as it is.
Of course not. This is our problem on the national level as well. And this is what you were saying, is that people want to think that, okay, Obama got this thing passed, a stimulus plan, and now things are going to start getting better. And that, I can guarantee you, is not going to happen.
Well, and that's with the level of importance they put on that stimulus bill, you would assume that it would. And when you're talking about that kind of money, you would think something's going to happen right away. Mm-hmm. But it probably won't.
No, it's not.
And what's he going to announce this week when he comes to town? He's going to talk
about
saving mortgages. And
yes. Waiting. Now that's, he's coming to Mesa, my hometown.
Isn't that lovely, though? He should have gone to Westwood. Stage, he has to use Phoenix as the capital of foreclosures.
I know. That doesn't help. But that's why he came here, I think. And he's going to some... he's going to places where they've been hit pretty hard, and he went to Florida. He's coming here, and look, we got problems here. We got big problems here. So it's pretty cool. He's going out to Dobson High. It's a nice campus. I wish he would have gone to Westwood. Would have been much better, of course.
Go
Wetwood. I think he's going to talk about foreclosures. Now that there's a whole nother deal, and a lot of people say until you put a bottom on these housing prices, you're not going to bounce out of this either. So. We'll see what the president has to say, and we'll talk about it next week. Last but not least, I guess the mayor hung up on us. Can you believe that? He called and hung up on us. So we'll have to have
somebody
him on.
He probably offered to buy him coffee or something.
We'll have him on next week, and we want him to defend this.
He's why, cleaning out his gutters.
Why are we the kidnap for...
ransom.
Kidnap for ransom capital of the United States. Wow. And I will tell you, that I mean, that's sick.
We're number one?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's
number one.
Awesome.
It was not a very uplifting story if you
terrible.
Read that in the LA Times.
Now the only good news is it's basically Mexican criminals kidnapping other Mexican criminals who are here. Everybody's here illegally. And so they're not yet kidnapping you and I. But, you know, there is a spillover into neighborhoods. It's a horrible thing
We
don't want. And I'll tell you, one of the things we'll talk about in weeks to come that I'm certainly going to urge the current administration to do is I think that they can wait a while if they want and see if the feds take some action. But I think it's long overdue for Arizona to close its own border. And I've said for a long time, Arizona can do that. I believe we can do that. Even in tough economic times, I think we can figure out a way to close our own border. People say, well, then they'll just come in through California or New Mexico. That's fine with me. I don't live in California or New Mexico. I live in Arizona, and that'll be their problem. But I have a long record of supporting immigrants and immigrants' rights and treating people who are here illegally humanely. But having said that, there is no excuse for this open border that we have here in Arizona. It needs to be closed. And if the feds won't do it, we ought to do it ourselves.
Grant, I know you were in L.A. last week, so you probably saw the story in the L.A. Times.
Yeah.
I read
it's
it
shocking,
online. I read the L.A. Times online every day. And you come across a story like that, and it makes you wonder, are they trying to squelch that story locally? Because that was big news.
Yes.
I mean, the amount of home invasions, well, you can pretty much attribute every home invasion, or about 90% of them, to this exact ring of the ransom for hire. And they will come here and they will basically steal the people, kidnap them right in the middle of the day, and then the phone calls start within the next 15-20 minutes.
Right.
I mean, they have task force working on this around the clock. I mean, they have a lot of detectives that are just doing this right now.
Yes.
And it was a scary story.
Scary stuff here in our hometown.
Yeah, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these are going on all the time. Not like hundreds a day, but they have like multiple hundreds of open cases on these, and they have a hard time solving them too.
Yep.
And the poor people of the families where these people are abducted, I mean, they are doing everything they can to get that money because these people are killed in a lot of lot of instances.
It's brutal. And that's another thing. Go back to the president. I would like to know what the president was briefed on Mexico, because it could be really scary. And Mexico is careening out of control here. And that can't happen either. We cannot have an unstable Mexico, but it's fairly unstable right now. Let's put it that way. So I would say in Arizona, two things we ought to do. One is we ought to have some sort of task force, some sort of group of people who know what they're doing to look at how we're going to close our own border and stop this nonsense. Number two, I think while we're looking at this idea of a special election to raise taxes and all that, we ought to have a group put together that would figure out a new way to fund Arizona government, because this is based on stuff that's many decades old. We're going to have to go into a different sort of economy into the future. We need to relook at how we fund government so that we're not so susceptible to the cycles here. This is not acceptable to have just like that, boom, a third of your budget gone and worse times ahead. So, you know, we'll see if what our new governor does. Again, as I've said before, I hope people will get behind the president. I hope our elected officials here, especially the ones who go to Washington, will spend at least as much time getting behind the president as they do complaining about him. It's okay to have differences of opinion. It's okay to vote no. I would have voted no on that too. But they need to be more supportive of this president, I think. And the flip side of that is people need to get behind Jan Brewer as our governor. She's got a big mess on her hands, and it's going to be tough to solve. So
I think you and Shaq have to figure it out on Friday.
Okay, Friday, that's what we'll do.
Cannot wait to hear.
Hopefully it'll all go through, you know. It'll be pretty cool, don't you think?
Where are we having lunch?
Should I say? At Capitol Grill. Capitol Grill. All right. And now, okay, this is your last prediction. Who will have to pay? Will Shaq pick it up, or do I have to pay?
Pick it up.
They don't even bring a wallet. You're paying.
You know the celebrities, right?
They won't even give you a bill.
They never pay. Oh, Capitol Grill won't?
Yeah.
I put that last on my list.
That's 5%.
I would say be ready to pay.
Grant, can I tell you?
Yeah.
Take your wallet.
Take my wallet?
Shaq will go, oh, man, I have no, you know.
Isn't that crazy about celebrities, the multimillionaires? They never pay. They're used to getting comped everything.
Hey, the guy who's got it made right now is Porter. I mean, he's got 2.5 years left on that deal.
I'd do that in a second.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
$6 million.
You know what I love is
get fired?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I would love to get fired and have someone go, these guys are crying. Yeah. You see them, they're all depressed. Oh, my God. Here's the deal. You're going to get the same money. You're going to be multimillionaire every year. And now you do nothing.
Right. You know what? Everybody's talking about today, hey, they canned him too quick. What a colossal failure on his part.
It was terrible.
I mean, really, how do you not get a sense of what this team, the vibe is, the pulse of this team when you go in there? What makes you think that your little heavy-handed techniques during training camp are actually going to work?
Yeah,
I mean, that
with
just
a bunch
tells
of veterans.
Me how clueless he really is.
No, you had to go.
Did you see some of those sideline conversations? Like, let's say we're shooting a free throw and you see Nash talking to Porter over there. You could just see Nash wasn't having fun.
Oh, my God.
And it just looked like you're telling me, you know.
And how do you not get along with Steve Nash?
That's my point.
You know how bad they want to go to New York?
It's not Iverson.
Yeah, I
mean, they want to play in New York. Now, here's the problem with Amari. He wants to be traded, but then Amari's starting to realize that could mean going to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
That could mean going to a city
Indiana.
You don't want to live in. Yeah.
I want to go Amari for Granger and send Amari to Indiana. See how he
likes
it.
Oh, my God. That
there.
Would be a beautiful deal. But you know what? What they're talking about right now is
it's salary dump.
It's embarrassing.
We get nothing. No, we get nothing.
It's humiliating to think these are the players
that's
throwing
in. This better not happen.
No.
Richie Rich, if you're listening.
Don't trade him.
Means
it
will.
Don't do it. Don't do it. All right.
I think that the Porter exit is going to rejuvenate some attitudes.
Yeah,
and
I think so.
Omari's going to stay, and we're going to
I hope
close
right.
the deal and get to number
no,
eight.
No, I
get
think
smoked
so.
Eight. By the Lakers. The first round.
Well, that's a happy thought. All right, Tom Zinner, thanks for being in the house.
Hey, thanks for
You'll
having
come
me.
Back, right?
I would love to.
All
this
right.
was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Thanks for including me.
All right. Mark Cordes at the Improv.
Not this week. I'll keep you posted.
Okay.
I'll have my schedule updated.
So everybody knows, check in the website, grantwoods.com. Everyone's blogging. We'll see something there from Carrie.
Oh, anytime.
Something from Mark. If you want to talk to us, everybody's, this is the whole point of this, is to communicate. Check in with Tommy Z. Okay. It's real easy to do, and hopefully you'll check in every day. We put up there every day our reads, best columns, articles, things that that I found that I think are interesting, videos, photos, all of that, and hopefully you'll share as well and make this an interactive site, make it part of your day to check in. All right. We'll talk next week, guys. See you later.
Thanks, Greg.
Hey, thanks.